Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com, and this is radio program number 66. If you're listening by shortwave radio, it can be found on the link S4TJ Radio. That's where all the radio programs have been stored, and so you can go back and listen to any of the previous programs as well as this one. Tonight I have a good friend that recently moved to Panama. His name is David Williams. Thanks for joining us, David.
Thank you for having me.
So you came here about 4.5 months ago, I guess now, and getting acclimated to life in a new world.
We're the Lord has been gracious and faithful to us and helping us to acclimate, but it's not without its challenges and obstacles for sure.
Yeah, it is, and that's life out of the comfort zone. You know, it's not easy when an eagle takes that first leap out of that nest. It's kind of scary, actually, you know, trusting wings that have never held you up. And when you leave America and you leave everything that you've known, you're literally leaving your nest. But I believe that that's what God is calling people now to, is go into the world and leave your comfort zone. We've been prepared. The Lord's blessed us. But it's time to go and bless others now. And so I know this is what he's done with our life in the last 2.5 years. And so it's interesting to hear, you know, I'd love to hear some of your insight of what you've seen and how the Lord has kind of transformed you out of that nest by coming down here. I know it wasn't easy. You have, I guess, 6 of your 9 children came down with you initially, and you have 5 right now with you. Share a little bit about some of the challenges, some of the experiences of just being in a foreign land, of course, not knowing the language either, like me.
Well, it's certainly been challenging. It's also been refreshing in many ways, as you know, just seeing the hearts of believers here, brothers and sisters in the Lord that have a fire and a passion for the Lord, and that's been hugely encouraging. Obviously, there are cultural differences that take some getting used to, and there are noble and ignoble virtues present in every culture, including American culture and Panamanian culture. So you try to honor that which is honorable and be merciful and gracious to that which is not, and try to live at peace with those around you. But, you know, I've been really kind of focusing on lately the command that is given to us by the Lord to come out of Babylon. We're told that there is a mystery Babylon, a mother of all harlots. And I believe that that is a spiritual entity that has a natural physical manifestation in the earth. And I believe that it has had many physical manifestations over human history. But right now, I do not see any other nation on earth that manifests the spirit of mystery Babylon like the United States of America. And that is such a shame, because I feel like that so much has been given to that nation. Its foundations were at one point very sure, and God blessed that nation and gave her much. But you know, to whom much has been given, much will be required. And we see right now, with the current state of things in the United States of America, that we have largely squandered our inheritance. And you know, obviously, the hope is that there would be repentance, that the kingdom of God would bear fruit in the lives of those who are present in that nation. But right now, on a large scale, we have not seen the repentance that would lead to that, and that's a sad thing. I believe that grieves the heart of God, and it certainly grieves the hearts of those who share in the heart of God. And so, you know, we all have loved ones, family and friends back there that we wish the best for, and we want to see prosperity and wholeness in their lives. Unfortunately, you know, we just see wickedness and perversion propagating and prospering in that land right now. And so there's heartache in that. All of that to say that, you know, lately I've been just, we're told in Scripture that Babylon, this harlot, this mother of all harlots, she holds a golden cup in her hands, And it is filled with the filth of her adulteries and abomination. And it's a filthy thing. And it says that the nations and the people of the earth have drank from that cup, and that they are intoxicated and they've gone mad with the what is in that cup. And we see that in our nation. We see that around the world right now. And I view the Holy Spirit as kind of, I've never been a drinker. The Lord spared me from having to go through that in my life. But you hear about people who wake up with hangovers and they have to drink coffee to try to sober up. And you know, I'm kind of thinking of the Holy Spirit as kind of like the coffee that you drink to try to straighten you out and help you to think straight. And I'm aware of the fact that, you know, you can leave the physical boundaries of a nation. Because I think that's right, if the Lord is speaking that to your heart. And that's how we've been led. But you can leave the physical boundaries of a nation, but still be bound by what you were brought up in. You know, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. It has to be a supernatural working to depart from what you grew up in and were brought up in and instructed in. And so I'm aware of, being here outside of the confines of geographical United States of America, and I realize I'm sobering up as that's taking place, and the Lord's been working on me for years, but I realize that, you know, you can take the person out of Babylon, but it's another thing to take Babylon out of that person's heart.
That's right. That's what happened in Egypt too. I mean, God delivered it from Egypt, but it was taking 40 years to get Egypt out of the children of Israel.
Yeah. You see right after the deliverance out of Egypt, you see them cast a bull out of, or a calf out of gold and begin to worship that, which is exactly what they did in Egypt. So that's what we encounter. And so, you know, for my brothers and sisters across the world right now, I pray that we would all heed the call of the Holy Spirit to come out of her and be separate, come out of Babylon and be separate, that we do not share in her sins and therefore receive her plagues. And see, the thing is, we can leave the physical boundaries, we can change our GPS coordinates on the earth, but if we're not submitted to the Lord, if we've not left the kingdom of darkness and entered into the kingdom of light, then we're still in jeopardy. Our soul is in great danger. And so, you know, I want to see, we're told, Isaiah said that of the increase of his government, there will be no end. It's an eternal kingdom, and speaking of Christ, that of the increase of his government, there will be no end. I want to see in my own life and the lives of my family and loved ones, I want to see his government. I want to see the way that he governs our hearts, our lives, our actions. I want to see that increase, and that's the Lord's heart. And so, but as long as we are continuing to drink from the cup that is held in the hand of this harlot, we're never going to see that. You know, there's a huge difference between a seasoned harlot, a seasoned prostitute who's so adulterous that she's been called the mother of all harlots. It's a huge difference between her and one that is virginal, one that is dressed in white, one that is chaste, one that has been made pure for her bridegroom. And of course, we know that's the heart of God the Father for his son.
So. Yeah, that's... You know, I was watching one of my children pulled up a video on YouTube, and it was showing how much baby parts, you know, unborn baby parts are in products that we use on a daily basis in America, and they're being sold, whether it be a new makeup line to make you look younger, and I don't know if it's they're using this stuff because it's got stem cells in it or why, but it's scary to think that aborted babies now are a prized possession for marketing. And not only that, but baby parts are sold in other parts of the world, unborn babies. And so you think, and I was looking at a statistic the other day, I saw that one out of every two Americans, this is scary, that the four or five leading causes of death of Americans in the United States, one of every two, 50%, is from abortion. So that means that one out of every two people that die in the United States is at the hands of someone shedding innocent blood. And you think about now these unborn babies are being harvested, so to speak, for various products and things like this. I mean, I was thinking about this today, thinking, well, how does somebody like Adolf Hitler, what, how is he able to do what he did, and everybody just stand by? Where was the church? Where was, you know, when this guy was gaining power, why was everybody silent? To see literally where this went, when you devalued a human being to either being worthless or not even human, where does that go? And I'm thinking, where does this nation now? And I was thinking about just when I was calling this program tonight, the State of the Union. If God were to give the State of the Union address tonight for America instead of the President of the United States, what would God say of where is the State of the Union right now? I would have to say that it would not be given a very good grade right now. In fact, it'd be F-. Because, mainly because the church has done nothing. As these things, as a sin has abounded, the church has been silent. The pastors have been silent. That they've been more interested in building churches than establishing righteousness in the land. And, you know, one of the things that I've come to realize, too, is when I had a vision a couple of years ago, it was a vision of a narrow road, and there was a road grader on this narrow road. And as I looked on the road grader, I looked at the road grader grinding, you know, the edge of this road, making it wider. The Lord spoke to me, said, the pastors hired the road crew to widen the road so more could get into the kingdom. But sadly, those who follow the widened path will fall into the ditch. And then when I looked on the road grader, the sign that was given on the road grader said doctrines of demons. So literally, doctrines of demons that have been hired or have been used, the pastors have allowed them to preach false doctrines, have widened the road with the intent of widening and getting more people into the kingdom. But these doctrines now have put America, I believe, in a very dangerous place, because some of the things that really have no biblical precedent, which is that when you, I don't see the sinner's prayer in there in the Bible, that you say this prayer and you get saved. It says you must repent. And repent means turn from your wicked ways, that you make a 180-degree turn. You have a different mindset. What grieves the heart of God before now grieves you. What pleases God pleases you. You have a different heart. God changes your heart. He takes the old man out and puts the new man in. And literally, you die to the old man. And the Lord asked me another question. He said, how can a man be born again if he's never died once? Well, where's this preaching of death? Where's the preaching of picking up the cross? Where's the preaching that initiates your entrance into the kingdom of God? No, just say this little prayer. Walk this little aisle, and you're good, man. Just come on to church. Now, these doctrines, this widened road now, that you say this little prayer and you're saved no matter what you do. In fact, your sins, your past, present, and future sins are all covered under the blood of Jesus. Well, why would anybody ever want to repent? Why do they have anything to repent from? And I believe that repentance has to be an acknowledgement that you've done something wrong. You cannot repent until you've acknowledged that you've done something wrong. And once you realize, oh my gosh, this is what I did wrong, and then you can repent because now you've acknowledged your wrongdoing. But I believe this is what concerns me about the state of affairs and the state of America, state of the Union right now, is that nobody can even come to that point to acknowledge their sin because, why? I'm forgiven. So this is what's really concerning me, is now the doctrines that the church has taught over the last 50 years have put America in a very dangerous position, because 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the only solution for a nation that has this God is going to judge, is to repent and turn from its wicked ways. And that message is, if it's being preached, it's not being received, because by the church. It says, my people will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then I'll respond. I'll hear from heaven. I'll heal your land. But until that thing happens, we ain't going anywhere. We're just back around the mountain one more time. In fact, you know, where's this thing? Where are we right now in the State of the Union? Where is America right now? I would just encourage anybody listening right now, is if God has already made some decisions about America, I encourage you to look at chapter 7 and 9 of Ezekiel, that God gives a recipe for protection over an individual. And that is that he put a mark on the individuals that sighed and cried at all the abominations that were done in the midst. In other words, what grieves God's heart grieves yours. And that is like, okay, if you want to find out, okay, where's my heart right now? Well, if something passes your eyes that you shouldn't see, do you take a second look or do you turn your head? I mean, I noticed some things that happened to me when I got here. God began to change my heart. And it became a natural response for me to turn away from something that I shouldn't see. And like, wow, where'd that come from? And I realized that came because God was changing my heart. It wasn't like I was forcing myself by my actions, trying to force my actions to do right. It's something that happened on the inside that it was just a natural response. And there's an article I would encourage you to go read. It's on Strength for the Journey's website. It's under articles, but it's called Whose Mark Will You Bear? And it's just kind of a synopsis of where America began, the rights that God gave America, where are we today, why are those rights being taken away? And I believe it may open up a number of people's eyes to where's America today and where are we today? And because we need to take inventory right now because we've drunk from that cup and many people are drunken with the success of a nation and the success of individual lives. And we need to sober up real soon.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, and you know, we as an American church, we've been taught that that Jehovah Jireh, that God is our provider, and absolutely that is a truth. I don't want to say that He's not every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, obviously. However, we've kind of said that with our mouths and we've thought that in our minds, but the truth of the matter is that it's the world system that has provided for us. And it has been our employer, our government program, or whatever. You know, we have all kinds of sources of income, and I'm not saying that the Lord has not had His hand in using those to provide for American people. But more and more, you see people that are plugged into a system that provides for them. And that truly is their provider. And they may be giving thanks to God well enough, and I'm not wanting to be too radical on this statement, but what happens if all of a sudden that job or that program or that social security check or that, whatever, fill in the blank, what happens if all of a sudden that ceases? Is God still your provider? And I believe we're going to be in a place soon where our hearts will be tested in that. And the Lord has prepared and trained up a group of people already for many years who He has removed them from that system. And we will see at that point how that training bears out. If in the thick of battle that they continue to stand on the promises of God and believe that He is their provider and that in a time of famine they will have plenty. And we're going to see. But, I really think that I would challenge anyone who's hearing these words right now to ask the Father, Lord, are You really my provider? Are You really the source of every good thing in my life? Or do I seek that from another source? Do I seek that elsewhere? And again, I'm not wanting to be overly radical. I'm not saying that the Lord is not in however He chooses to provide for someone. But if that... If the vehicle mm-hmm. Changes, do we still believe that He will provide in another way? You look at the life of Elijah, for example, and the Lord says, "Okay, I want you to go and sit by the brook Cherith, and I'll send a raven in the morning and in the evening. It'll bring bread and meat." Praise God, He's taken care of. But that season ends, and He says, "Okay, now I'm going to send you to a widow in Zarephath. I have commanded her to sustain you and to feed you." And He goes there, and now through flour and oil that does not fail until the end of the famine, this woman provides for Elijah. Okay, a second means. Okay, now He goes to Mount Carmel, and He deals with the prophets of Baal. And then Jezebel makes a threat against His life, and He's on the run. He's fleeing. Well, now, as He's exhausted, the Lord sends not just once but twice an angel to bake bread and sustain this man of God. So there's a third means. And so we see in the life of Elijah, a man who's greatly persecuted, a man who cannot draw from the systems of man for sustenance, who has to rely completely on the Lord. And the Lord does it in differing ways at differing times, but he still trusts in the Lord, and the Lord is true to his promise to sustain this man. And so, you know, I think it's a lesson for us in these times.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really good because, you know, it's interesting that when I had a very successful business in the United States, and it actually, the Lord gave me ideas that when the Great Recession began, my business grew every year because of some ideas the Lord had given me of how to increase my business in a downtime. And so I learned that just because, you know, times are hard doesn't mean they have to be hard for anybody. In fact, what really opened my eyes was I heard a radio program where this one lady was talking about statistics of the Great Depression. And she said that 30% of the businesses during the Great Depression thrived, and there's more millionaires made during the Great Depression than any other time in American history. So I thought, wait a minute, why am I thinking there's a black cloud over me right now because my sales have dropped dramatically over the last year? I said, this is a time of opportunity. I just need to find where the opportunity is. And so with that mindset, God began to open my eyes and show me that he has a way where he can make a way when there seems to be no way. And then when I moved down here, I did probably what the natural mind would think was probably the stupidest thing anybody could ever do. I threw all my business contacts in the trash can, all my records of my daytimers with lots of contacts, and I could just continue my business. And the Lord had made it very clear to me that he was going to start me over, that he was going to erase my chalkboard. And he told me, don't you write on the chalkboard until I write something on there, and then you do what I tell you to do. So I had to trust in a different way because I was not going to depend upon my old manna, so to speak, from yesterday in my provision, you know, by the raven or whatever it may be that God was providing. It was going to be a new way. And the Lord had to show me that when I got down here, but he did. And what's really kind of interesting is that I don't work near as hard, but everything's always provided for. I just do what he says to do almost on a daily basis. So for the mindset, and this is an encouragement for people that are listening, that sometimes things change, but it doesn't mean everything changes. I read a book one time. I was in a leadership conference for a company I worked with, and it's called Who Moved the Cheese? And it's about these three mice that every day that they went to a maze, and every day their cheese was in the same spot. But one day the cheese was gone. And the story was about the personalities of these three mice. One was very fearful, and it's just interesting the different responses that the cheese was moved. And it just, you know, one day our provision may be in a new location, and we have to trust God enough to venture to find where the provision is, or to trust him he's going to bring it to us. And this is where a lot of us are just getting tested right now, like you just said, do we really trust God? And I think we're going to find in the very near future how much we really do trust him, because I believe we're on the verge of some huge things happening in the world, economically, geopolitically. I mean, everything's coming different. I mean, just for instance, we were talking before the program just about the water being rationed in California right now, or, you know, new executive orders that are just written to preserve the water because there's 5% snowpack right now up in the Sierras, and they know it's going to be a very dry year. And where's the food going to be? Where's the water for the food? I mean, so there's a lot of things that are about ready to change, and I think everybody just needs to understand that things are going to change. Now, will we change, and will we prepare our hearts for the change before it happens and trust God now? Because this is the time that we have to trust him now, because that's the preparation for when the events change, that we can flow and trust where he wants us to go, what he wants us to do. But today is the day to begin to build our faith. That's why I call this radio program Strength for the Journey, because we have to, first of all, the truth is the fuel, but we have to apply the truth to get the strength. If the truth is just a truth sitting in the Bible, if we don't apply the words that are in the Bible, where are we going to get the strength to walk this thing out? And so this is the difficult thing, is that every truth is not easy to swallow. It's very difficult at times. And that's why in John chapter 6, I've mentioned this before in other programs, that Many of his disciples walked away and no longer walked with him. He said, well, who can receive this saying? This is a hard saying. But, you know, he looked over his disciples, the other ones. He said, where are we going to go? And I said, you know, Peter said, only you have the words of life. You know, so we have to understand that there's no other place to go. Only he has the words of truth and life. And we have to accept every word that comes from his mouth. Every word that proceeds from his mouth, we have to eat.
That's right. That's right. You know, that's an interesting point to bring up. Only less than 24 hours away from Passover, because the message of Passover is, of course, that the blood of the Lamb is what will save us from destruction and bring us out of bondage and into the glorious freedom of the promised land. However, in order to apply the blood of the Lamb to a household required obedience. It required that you took the hyssop and that you applied it to the doorpost of the home, the doorway of the home, and it required that you then gathered with your family and that you ate the entire lamb. It required very specifically that you remove all of the leaven, all of the yeast, which of course is representative of sin, from your home. I mean, there were a number of qualifications in order to receive deliverance from Egypt. And so, you know, of course, Christ being our Passover lamb, that's what he was speaking of in John chapter 6, that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have no life in you. And so, you know, like you're saying, today, as scripture says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. That's a message to all of us, no matter how long we've walked with the Lord, that the key is obedience. The key is to hear, and we cannot be obedient unless we hear his voice.
That's right.
And so, you know, we cannot pick and choose what we will be obedient to. Obedience it's like pregnancy. You either are or you are not. And again, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, but we need to be open to the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts to know how we can follow him and be obedient.
That's right. You know, this is where the rubber meets the road, you know, not just being a hearer only, but a doer. See, that's where you can hear, but if you don't do, you're not being obedient, because the doing is the acting out of what you hear. And, you know, I like John or Jesus's mother at the wedding, you know, whatever he says, just do it. Just do it, because he's telling you the truth. Just do what he says to do.
You know, tonight, about an hour and a half ago, in a small little stream here in Panama, I had a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old who, with no coercion from their parents, came and said, we want to be baptized, Dad. And about an hour and a half ago, that's what took place. And you know what? If a child can figure out, hey, obedience is a simple thing. We've heard the truth and we want to respond to it. You know, so there's encouragement. Not everything in the world is dark. You know, his government is increasing. His kingdom is expanding.
That's right.
Praise God.
Well, David, thank you again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength with the number 4, thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.